Welcome back to A Pint of Cthulhu, Fallout. The wasteland is vast, cruel, and unforgiving. But this wasn't just a story about survival. This was a story of transformation. Of a wasteland once devoid of hope, now flourishing under the glow of the Geck. Of strangers who became a family. Of a vault that grew beyond its walls, creating a new Croddington. A settlement where humanity could start again. As we reflect on the trials, triumphs, and tragedies of this campaign, we invite you to revisit the moments that define their journey. Because in a world of radiation and ruin, the greatest treasure isn't what you find. It's the friends you make along the way. This is their story. The story of Winnegan, of Billy Bob, Beverly, and Gertrude. And of course, Nurse Handy. The story of Vault 169 and the dawn of New Croddington.
Also, don't forget my first character, not Nurse Handy, it was Mr. Handy.
Or Dr. Wrench.
Yes, Mr. Monkey.
Max Powers, even.
Sorry, you want me to do that again? I sort of lost it at the friend.
No, keep it.
Keep
this in. This is a raw, unedited footage of Pint of Fulu dicking around.
Yeah. Well,
nice little extra.
Out the bar.
Fuck it, I'll start this off. Cap, that has been probably the most fucking fun I've had in quite a while.
Oh, really? Oh, so way better than season 2? Oh, okay. Well, fuck you too then. Alright.
I can say that, because I only joined on the season.
Yeah, you have an excuse. Everyone else needs to fuck off, alright? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Took, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah.
Alright, fine, fuck you. Season 2 sucks. 3 was better.
Well, I'm gonna make season 4 go off the fucking rails. What I'm gonna do is gonna be awful. Worse than this time.
What season?
It's even worse.
I already expect it. Nah, I think going down the funniest moment. Again, you know what? It's gonna have to be when you weren't here and we had the Dill Dominator.
Yeah,
that has sparked such a fucking light.
Yeah, it's weird that because that was that was very quickly cobbled together. I don't know if you noticed, but because you told me that Tukin wasn't going to be there, and we were going to, I think we're going into a new area, so I thought that it's probably best if we actually go into a new area with a full team rather than. I mean, it might have been different if we were like halfway through the new area. I could have maybe just put him to the side for an episode, but I thought if we're going into the new one, want us all to be together for the start of it, so I made a little incredibly stupid little side mission where Billy Bob got lost.
Did you ever listen to that?
I need to. I'm afraid to, considering
I think you've not done it.
The cliff notes is it's a sex shop for a start, but it's populated entirely by robots trying to play out different aspects of human sexuality.
Oh my god!
You've got these protectrons trying to be pole dancers and stuff like that. And
yeah. I remember that.
It's so weird to think that if Tukin had been there that week and we hadn't done that, we wouldn't have the Doldomitate.
Yeah, I know.
It wouldn't exist. It's just random chance.
Yeah, I really shouldn't have given you that.
I always wondered where the fuck the Dill Dominator came from. I was like, what did I miss? What happened?
About your ass.
Alright, to be fair, it didn't actually penetrate you.
You heavily implied it did. I was really worried that you did.
That's how you fit the mini.
Oh yeah, I mean yeah. I was like, man, this fits in really easy. Weird.
Just needs a bit of hot.
A little hot too on that thing, yeah.
Dear God, every one of your lines in that was basically just muffles.
Yeah,
we kept you gagged so that we could have you tell the story. Muffled.
Yeah. Oh man, I think to be honest, the mini nuke thing was really fucking funny. That's up there on favorite moments, even though it's from this episode we just did. The corgi pack showing up was very fun as well. I love how much Cap lets us get away with shit, but doesn't. Like, you want a dog? Fine. Whole pack of fucking mutant dogs. Have fun. You want a Dill Dominator? Absolutely. It still doesn't make it, like, automatically you win, or it isn't difficult, or it isn't interesting and fun.
I mean, you had built Gertrude to the fact that whenever she tried to hit and she was going to succeed. It was...
That's true.
All you did was put it all into strength and all into melee.
The right, I think I remember that conversation. Right, it was like, can I just turn everything else down to one? Now, that corgi pack was fucking funny, because didn't they just eat all the fucking drugs?
Yeah.
Yeah, they ate a lot of your inventory.
Some say they're still tripping to this day.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think one of my favourite episodes, this is right at the beginning, was when my first character died. I was so close to becoming an android. I could have done so much with being an android.
You didn't technically die.
Yeah, sort of didn't technically. Yeah, you're right. You became some guy's clone.
I did.
Some guy's synth doctor clone. So there is actually just an entire community of synths with the same model all walking about with different personalities.
I wonder what came of him.
Yeah, I wonder.
Maybe he buys the memory chip from your new character. Slots it in.
Speaking of which, does anybody remember the name of the first town we went to?
Springfield.
Yeah,
I was going to say, because sure. I never remembered it the first few times, because I asked Cartman to name it for me and then I didn't write it down. So,
the funny thing was, I was this close to saying Springfield, but there's a new town coming up.
See, if you did, that would have been great.
Field Spring.
City Spring
Spring. Town 2.
Yeah, it wasn't until maybe like 2 weeks ago that Matt told me he was talking to somebody who'd actually listened to us do that.
I had to ask them, I was like, wait, you've just started listening. What was the name of the town we were first in? Like, wait, do you not remember? No. None of us do. You'll hear later.
I don't really know if I have a favorite part. I feel like a lot. I'm actually being serious, and it's not like a bad thing. I mean, like, actually a good thing, as in, like, I actually had fun with most of it. I would say parts that I remember the most, like, I would say would be my favorites. Like, Cap somehow trying to make the ghoul nurse. Constantly, like, I was actually afraid that Cap would insert her in everywhere. Like, there would always be, like, around the corner would be this one ghoul nurse, and him bringing her back was funny as shit. Like, in my head was like just funny as shit, because I was always expecting to see her again. It was like, I almost got disappointed. I was like, oh man, I would have been great to him, for him to add her in there. And then he brought her back. And I went, oh my God, finally. Wow, that's awesome. And I was really happy about that part. But
I thought you were going to say the bit where you fuckers give Cap so much shit over not letting the doctors and stuff have different voices.
Oh, God. Yeah, like everybody had Cap. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was.
Yeah,
funny.
To be fair, the whole voice thing, I'll admit, I'm not good at that.
And we were just doing it in good fun, but I was just laughing because it was like you had done a voice and immediately done the exact same voice for a different guy. And I just like, I can't let it go. Like, I've got to bring it up. I've got to say it. I can't say anything because obviously people listen to season 2. Like, I just gave like a New York accent to every goblin that there ever was, and I couldn't help it.
Yeah, yeah, but that worked. I could. The Jerrys were awesome.
Jerry.
Yeah. I named all. I actually had them all written down. It was Jerry, Barry, Terry, Perry, and Timmy. There was like three Jerrys. I can't remember a thing of what it was. I had them all written down, all different names. But But I can't say anything, Cap. But I did have to say something when it happened. Couldn't let it go.
It just worked so well.
I would like to also give an honourable mention to the pizza episodes. They were really good.
Yeah, that was another side quest, actually. I found, I was going through... What was I was going through? I was going through, I think it was the Fallout 2D20 on Reddit. I was having a look at the sort of what people are doing and what kind of additions they're making to the game, and because there's always somebody trying to add other bits of lore from other games into this, so I thought I could have a wee look there, see what's fun. And there was this one going around. It was just like it was a really silly one-off that was all about just making a cake or something,
a pizza. So we have to get the sausage and stuff like that, pizza.
Well, I mean, Cap may have, like, changed it. It was, like, cake, and then he changed it to pizza.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. It was a pizza. It was always a pizza.
Granny Gouda.
Yeah, it was always a pizza. But
sexy plant man.
I had to make the getting the ingredients like a task in and of itself. Like every one of them had to have their own task to it.
That worked though.
Yeah.
Again, it really just worked.
Yeah, and it also fitted with the main story, even though it was a side quest. it still brought us back around, and it was good.
That was another one, because we didn't have the full team, actually. We didn't have the full team, but everybody was in the vault anyway, so it was just like, well, what can I do that's vault-centric for a one-off?
Yep.
So I just had Yoko around and make a pizza.
Yep. I think I was one of those... That was one of the ones that we didn't have a full team, because I wasn't there. I had a crazy schedule, everyone at home. That's why there's a bunch of episodes without me. I was working 7 days a week there for a while. Now I'm down to 6. Thankfully. Mm. So, but there was days I just couldn't avoid working. So, was not there for recording days.
Yeah. Yes, and I was yet to join.
You were there, actually.
Yeah. I joined the episode after that, actually, as the late, great Monkey Wrench.
Yes, Dr.
Ivan Monkey Wrench.
Monkey D. Wrench.
Yeah, I never said that, actually.
How many episodes did your first character last there?
I don't know. It depends when I've written the will and testament. I enjoyed writing that will.
It was batshit crazy.
That's the highest death count in this game. I died twice. Or three times?
No, technically you only died once.
If we're talking about like podcast in total, that'd be Jay. I think Jay still has that record from Call of Cthulhu.
Although, to be fair, I haven't died last season. I haven't died this season.
Nearly did.
Matt, you know what you have to do.
I managed to take Gertrude through the entire D&D session without her dying, and you did the same with this one, Matt.
Fair.
If
Gertrude's just a survivor.
If I didn't, I didn't have to rush that last ending of mine, I 100% would have probably... like added a bunch more people and made it really hard, because y'all got really powerful near the end. That's for sure.
Just a bit.
Yeah, that's the thing with you all. The Gertrude has become proper powerful, and you only got up to a level 3-4. So,
three.
Yeah, level 3. So I would, if I was to keep you going, like that would have definitely been a level up, like point there, because that was the end of the getting the Gek storyline.
And I almost needed to like get rid of my gun, because my gun, I mean, good freaking lord, I think my gun was more powerful than Gertrude's strength.
Yeah, like you with that gun and Gertrude with her Dildominator, I was trying to avoid putting you into combat situations at one point.
Yeah, you see, for
question,
me,
how much damage dice can your gun do?
10. No, 10 damage dice, and it had a fire rate of 3. So that means I could have rolled an extra 2 dice. So I could have done 12 combat dice. And then it also had a laser sight. So it was an extra one. So 13 combat dice is what I would have rolled every time.
I've got
Yeah, it would have been 13 because of the fire rate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
fucking hell.
Yeah, and then imagine painful. You get that 2 shot on all of them.
You gotta one shot that fucking thing.
Yeah, and giving you a stun on that Dildominator at the end there was probably a bad idea, but hey, there was only one mission left.
It was funny.
Did I say we were
coming to the end of the season?
I don't think you have flower.
So it was good to give us sort of god level stuff at the end of the season. Keeps it interesting.
Yeah, go for it, Flair.
I'll say my like coming into it as a bit later than I did as Venge. I enjoyed playing Venge, but I've tried to play smart with him, but I couldn't think ahead and keep to how he was. Like some of the moments, basically, I love playing the creepy side of it. I don't know. I just like playing. I like the odd little creepy side of like.
He was a strange man. He liked doing experiments and stuff. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I enjoyed writing the Will and Testament. But the episode he died, I thought was hilarious. And he's like, oh, he's going to die. I was fucking loving it. He's like, let him die. Let him die. But I'd say as Beverly, I'd have to say probably goes to probably the help of Took. Basically, any interaction between Beverly and Billy Bob, I just found hilarious. Basically, she hated him with a fucking passion, especially after her getting shot. But I just like the interaction with him.
And he got arrested twice.
Yes.
I will say, concerning Billy Bob, I was really upset with myself on that. I feel like I really couldn't pinpoint down a personality with him. I felt like he was kind of more all over the place.
That worked, though. It did.
In some aspects.
Lawful chaotic.
It really was, but at the same time, like it seemed so vastly different than the first one, like when I first started with him, that it seemed too off the rails, where I didn't really know how to perceive what he was gonna do next. Like, usually when you would do with the character, you kind of want to see what would my character do, and it got to the point where Billy Bob is, I don't know what the fuck Billy Bob's gonna do. What would Billy Bob fucking do? And I guess it made it kind of harder to do decisions at that point.
I had the same with Beverly.
Was the way that you went.
Trying to fuck anything that moved. Beverly was more like, she was basically started off as like a fangirl from Gertrude. So basically it was like me as the fan coming in, because I was...
I completely forgot that she was fangirling on Gertrude. It seemed like it was so long ago that I completely forgot that it was even you.
Because it was like...
I must admit, like, Gertrude was freaked the fuck out by that.
I added that in a way, because it's like, because I came in as a fan, and it's in a way because she'd heard stories of the Gertrude, and that's why she'd always like, if Gertrude gets hit, she's going for the thing that's attacked Gertrude.
Yeah.
Or
because Gertrude had an entirely unnecessary protection score.
Yeah. But then because Gertrude and Winnegan was getting close, so she added somebody else to protect, because, like, Gertrude, then Winnegan was her priority, then the robot, then Snufflepuff. She didn't give a shit about Billy. She didn't give a shit about Billy.
I'm not going to speak for Cap, but I will tip my hat. I feel like Matt was definitely a better Gertrude than I was for the season one.
Oh, hell no, dude.
I did love Dwarf Gertrude, but I'll be honest.
Gertrude was a pretty good Gertrude.
I love Dwarf Gertrude, but I feel like it was almost felt like a different Gertrude than me and Matt. Like she was all because she see, I don't know your because it's just Cap. I don't know if it's Cap, but Cap always seemed like his Gertrude was smarter and not as off the fucking rails that me and Matt was. You know.
Feel like Gertrude.
Oh, she was always punching down doors, and she was always and she was chatting up monsters.
Oh yeah.
I think Gertrude just like slots neatly into D&D in a way. Yeah. She's very like barbarian.
Maybe it was like the environment.
Yeah, she's just like screaming barbarian sort of.
There's
room for that kind of character everywhere.
Yeah. I'm not bashing on Cap's Gertrude at all. I love Cap's Gertrude. Obviously, I was the DM and I freaking loved it. Wanted to protect Gertrude as much as I could in mine. But I always feel like, because of how I portrayed Gertrude in the first one, it was a little bit, like, I don't know, off the rails. I was really intending Gertrude in the first one to just be like a one-off, like maybe die in two or three episodes. That didn't fucking happen. That didn't fucking happen. And then now here she is.
Gertrude rides immortal.
I was trying to play Gertrude as like a mind of a child almost, but then that went out the fucking rails very quickly.
Yeah, too dirty minded for that.
Yeah.
No pressure on you then.
I had initially planned for Winnegan to have a girlfriend way back at the start.
Oh.
Who lived in the vault and that she was like kind of exes with. I never brought it up because I couldn't think of a way to make it interesting. And then the stuff of Gertrude started happening. I was like, oh shit, well. It works.
I almost feel like,
remember back at the start, Billy Bob was hitting on Winnegan quite a lot.
Yeah.
Well, that was
And he's her grandson.
Well, I want you to think about Flower wasn't here, but everybody else was here for the Krampus episode when Billy Bob, like, first introduced. The whole purpose of Billy Bob, like, he had 10 charisma and 10 luck. Like, that was his thing. And he had every, the skills he picked on was barter and speech. His whole thing was he was a womanizing cowboy. Like, that was what I built him around. So the only female character is Winnegan. So now, for Gertrude, it'd have been a little bit different. But then things kind of went on.
I'm glad you did.
And it will just, I don't know. It didn't feel right either. I was like, I went for it. Like, oh, he would definitely, if he's a womanizer, he would definitely hit on Winnegan. And he went for that. And then, I don't know, that's why it kind of slowly bled away. I was like, I don't know. It's one thing to hit on an NPC. It's another one to try and hit on, like, a fellow player. And I didn't feel right about it. I was like, it's weird. Nah, I'm leaving it. Done. We're done with it. Not anymore.
Similar must admit,
there were a few good conversations between me and Jay about how we make this sound decent for a show.
Yeah. It's that one bit in the lead room where Kat was like, no, you guys aren't wolfing out. I'm like, am I, though? I don't think I want to do that. That stays on the internet forever. Because the real thing with that was Gertrude isn't the sort of character to, like, initiate shit or notice necessarily.
Oh no, she's dumb as fuck.
So a lot of what you and I talked about, I was trying to get figure out, like, okay, does Gertrude realize what's going on?
And most of it was no.
Oh yeah. That's also why, like, because of that, like, didn't really like that feeling, didn't really like it at all. And then it really hit it as well. We did have a person message in kind of saying they were very uncomfortable with Billy Bob.
They got real offended.
They were really offended. And that was like, I was already feeling, I don't like this. And then that comment alone was like, it's done. Don't worry about it. Like, I'm not, like, that was like the nail in the coffin. Like, good. No more. Don't like it.
We are friends. We know each other. We are more than comfortable with the shit we do here. And if anyone is uncomfortable, they know they can tell the other person.
Oh, yeah.
And Cap is playing dice.
Yes.
Yeah, of course he is.
But
you know somebody's written in for that?
Yeah, one of the first comments we got was a bitch-ass loser complaining about it. They got super defensive.
Oh, man. Yeah, they may be listening to you now. Good job, Jay. But either way.
Yeah, no, fuck
yeah,
you.
Well, yeah, it was a very, like, it was a comment that was basically saying, was we very found it very, like, it was very uncomfortable that Billy Bob didn't, like, basically, because Winnegan obviously curbed Billy Bob's advances, but Billy Bob kept going.
Yeah.
And that, just the fact that Billy Bob kept going was, had apparently very offended them, that no means, and no means no. We're gonna statement, no means no, but it was Billy Bob's character. But that's where, after they made that comment, was when I brought up, hey, maybe I could be distantly related to Winnegan, you know, something like that. Make it in that.
And then
people bring up, well, you hit on her and you're distantly related. He's like, yeah, but this is a way of finalizing, it's not gonna happen, don't worry. You know, like, it's not gonna happen again.
Also, if you listen to a podcast where someone shotguns a baby and your main problem is a dude hitting on someone too much, like, just because the characters are doing something, it doesn't mean that in real life we would do the same shit. We would not shotgun a baby.
Absolutely.
Instance.
I mean, there are a lot of conversations that we have as well in between on chats and stuff, like, is everyone cool with this?
Yeah.
Are we going in the right direction? It's not just completely all, like, ad lib.
It is mostly.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly. We do have comments.
Matt, I think I've
said,
there's
little pointers.
See, Max, I think I've said to you, is like, anything's like been said to, like, that if I, like, anything that happened in that episode, just let me know if anything's gone wrong and I know for the future.
Yeah.
Because I'm still getting used to this sort of dynamic. But, yeah.
You fit in nicely, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
Shall we go? Oh, God.
I tell you, I think basically I felt more when it fit in. It's basically it was a tooth. She said that as well. Nurse Handy was trapped in the store, and Took said to me, "It's like, because I was like, oh, I can cut the screaming off." I said, "Mate, you're fitting in well." I was like, "Oh, yes, oh yes."
It's the sadism that makes you fit.
Yeah.
Well, we do have an ongoing joke that basically everybody makes fun of Cartman. And Cartman takes it really well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, real champ.
He's not listening.
Hey, I'm here.
That's why he's real champ.
He tones us out real well. He ignores us very well.
Now, shall we have a listen to some bits that were sent in for other people's favourite parts of this season?
All right, let's listen to it.
There's a couple. Yeah. They're broken up with a couple of beeps. We chat about them afterwards and whatnot. And yeah, first one.
Yeah, Shab fans.
Hi, Matt. Simon here from Who Takes the Socks Off podcast. One of my highlights of this season has to be the death of Ivar. just for the sheer comedic value, the fact that he'd been attacked and stung by a scorpion to then be buzzsawed by the nurse handy unit and then bitten by Snufflepuff. Just hilarious.
Comedy of errors.
Keep up the good work and can't wait to see what you do next season. Bye.
This is a beat. That is funny though, that it is like your first death.
I love that. I really did. At least, like, even what you just said, it's like, I was like, surprised from that, actually.
I think, to be fair, that wouldn't have happened if Cartman didn't hit the nat, was it the fail nat 20?
Nat 20, like, missed, like,
yeah.
I found it
like it's always the death hilarious. Ironies are the best.
It's one of those things that I found quite hard, is to come up with proper, like, proper detriment or proper punishments for hitting that nat 20.
Oh, I think you got it pretty good.
And killing a player.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got to make those nat 20 counts.
Yeah, so you got to make it count. You can't just let people get away with that.
Yeah.
That's why you can't re-roll those ones.
Makes sense. There'll be a couple of beeps and it'll go into the next one.
Good lord!
So, my favourite parts of Fallout are when Mr. Medman stuck to his guns and determinedly carried on with what he was doing. All the unexpected roles with disastrous consequences. The three-part pizza side quest, which was absolutely hilarious, especially when you were trying to get the cheese.
The
sex shop episode where you were trying to find Billy, because that was interesting to listen to. The sewer cult episode, which was interesting to say the least.
Which one was that?
All the times Kat was trying to set Billy up on dates. Shame they didn't go any further, as well as the nurse that came back. That was perfect. The most recent pain train from Gertrude, as well as wanting to make meat puppets, as well as chopping heads off. What was the obsession with all the heads? The Baby Bjorn bit as well, and then in that town where people were asking for directions, one screaming and one's like, can you please tell me where this is, please? Much more effective. Also, all the very creative uses for the Dildominator. I'm not going to name any more of those. Another one is Billy Bob's determination that Winnigan is related to him. Let's hope we finally find out whether she is or she isn't. Also, all the contagious laughter that set everyone off, which set me off quite a few times because once one goes, everyone goes. As well as can't forget the rivalry between Beverly and Billy Bob, which is absolutely hilarious after one abandoned the other. And finally, cannot forget the mascot of Snufflepuff, which, treasure.
That's like everything. She like mentioned like every episode. Like, no, the whole thing. Yeah, wow. Oh, awesome. I mean,
I think she might have a favorite character too. Billy Bob came up a lot.
Being a dumbass back every time that it was.
Yeah.
Being stupid.
I had completely forgotten that we had tried to set you up on a gay date.
You know, I thought about that.
Did it with multiple.
I thought about that the other day, and I remember like how it felt really awkward that Cap was like, you don't want to do this. And I'm like, no, I really want to do this. Yeah. Because then I think, didn't it lead up to me, like trying to get another gay guy from the bar to sit with him.
Yes.
I think in that that's when it got really awkward and Cap's like, but like basically like, Took, don't do this. don't let this go down.
Because by the time that you were talking to other people and trying to make this go your way, like the guy was there sitting listening to you do this, so he just got a little bit, he got more than just a little bit rejected by you.
And you kept on bringing him in as well. It was like, what, three of them?
I kept bringing in guys. That was the ongoing joke of that episode, was I kept getting everybody in town drunk. So I kept bringing them in there to...
Fucking
and he's in the corner, like, dejected. And I'm bringing other men in to have drinks with across the room. Yeah. I remember that.
It was weird hearing somebody else say the Dominator.
Yeah, it's so strange.
Must get used to that one.
It makes an impact.
Yeah, the meat puppet episode probably had to be the grossest fucking episode I think I ever heard. And then you actually did. What was it? What was the doctor's name that was following us around? You gave him another asshole. Yeah, Rast. You gave him a second asshole. How Cap let that go by? I have no fucking clue.
Why not? Did go ham that episode.
Legit. Let him make another asshole with a Jildo. Like that. Yeah. That goes. That's.
No, it was the machete. I dropped.
Was the machete? Oh god. Yeah. Legit carved him another asshole. That was the group. Yeah.
I don't remember how, but I remember that you popped someone's balls.
Yeah.
Yes.
He had 3 HP left, and I took 2 off with a nutsack pop.
Yeah, you only managed to get 1 of his balls, though.
We got 2 points.
Yeah. It's always the left one.
Yeah, and I made the comment that all of us dudes were clinching when you were talking, where you're actually describing it. Yeah. I was like,
yeah.
I was losing my shit.
I was in work and I was listening to that.
That's fucking funny.
Right, keep it going.
Next one.
Okay, so this is Karen from the Lightly Used podcast, hosted by myself and the lovely Mr. Court, also known as Adam. And Matt has asked me to give you a bit of my best bits memories from Fallout Season 3. So I suppose I should start by saying I haven't listened to Season 1 or Season 2. I did not know the podcast existed until Season 3. So I am a very recent listener. I've also never listened to a TTRPG podcast before, so this was
and the last, because you know she's never listened to another one
again. At the age of 43, for a female, that's kind of unusual, I guess. So yeah, the whole season really has just been not only the highlight of my week, but incredibly funny. Everyone that's taken part has been fantastic, and I think I can safely say my absolute favourite part of the entire season, the bit that made me laugh the hardest, was the transition between episode 16 and 17. So those of us that have listened know the entire team spend a whole episode trying to get into a safe and employing multiple failed attempts of different things, throwing things, all sorts of stuff. And eventually they kind of give up with frustration. And I think somewhere halfway through episode 16... I think it's Jay that says, oh, I wish we had some bobby pins. And of course, within the very first minute of Gertrude exploring the women's bathroom in the vault, she finds behind a mirror a tin of bobby pins. And Matt's response to Cap and just the genuine frustration they probably all felt through episode 16 of employing all of these different tactics to try and get into this safe, that it just came out with a C-bomb and a huff, and that just made my day, made the season, made me laugh so hard I probably wet myself a little bit. So yeah, thank you ever so much for the entertainment of Fallout Season 3. I'm really looking forward to Season 4. Whatever that ends up being. I mean, I know what it is, but I don't know if everyone else knows what it is, so shh, Karen, no spoilers. Congratulations on getting to the end of Season 3. It's been an amazing campaign. I'm completely addicted, and I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's hope 2025 sees an amazing Season 4. Bye bye. Right.
So, her favourite part was taking Colin me a cunt. Sorry, Matt.
It is good to know, because that episode was We were worried a little bit that people wouldn't enjoy it because it was just no progress. Fucking someone's favorite episode.
I don't think anybody cares about our podcast when it comes to sticking to the story. If we're talking about like being like progress in the story, they definitely don't. Like,
As a quick point out, season one at this precise moment isn't actually online anymore. It's still being edited by Styles because I've given him so much extra work with all of the little extra games we've been doing. It hasn't been
finished. So clearly season two is a better season. She needs to go back and listen to that one. Clearly. It's the best one.
Oh, no doubt there. Two is better than one.
No. I mean, but I was actually talking about better than this one. Season, clearly. Clearly.
Two, yeah, we were there.
Oh, no comment from Kat. Oh, okay.
No, that's fine.
He's playing Dyson's
film. I'm kidding, Cap. I'm kidding. I think you did a way better job than I did.
Well, I could say, for me as a player, my favourite season's been this season, so as a player.
Yeah.
The season you played.
It wasn't frustration. I think it was more just humour.
Yeah, the irony of it. You've been trying to crack a save, and all of a sudden you find the lollipops. It's like, why now? If I had them 10 minutes ago.
I don't think any of us have ever actually been frustrated in an episode, like angry frustration.
You guys tried to put me on a gay date, and no matter what I possibly could do, you guys were implying that I was hitting on the person that I was talking to was frustration. That was frustration.
You made a charisma max character.
I was like, good God. I was like, I just want to say hello.
You want to say hello when it comes out.
And then Cat finally threw me. Cat finally threw me a bone. He was like, "Yes, you went to the bar, you had a nice drink, and you left." I was like, "Thank you, Cat."
And then you went back.
And then he took you to the bathroom and pulled you over.
God.
Okay.
That's an extra.
That's the bit they didn't know about.
Yeah. We're telling you the truth.
There's been very little that's been cut out of this season. Very little. A couple of like little bits and pieces here and there, but nothing major.
God, was it this season? I won't repeat the joke, mostly because I don't remember, but there was a season where I made a fucked up.
Oh no, I had that one a few episodes back.
That got yeeted.
I think I remember which one it was.
Did that get cut? I hope it did.
Which joke was that?
Taste one.
Yeah.
Tell me now and I'll beep it out.
Hang on, I'll just message you it.
I won't actually beep it.
Yeah, because I think I know which one you're on about.
That got cut.
Good. Great.
Yeah, that one did. Because that was one that was held, worked on by Styles, and even he said, we should probably cut that.
Yeah, I know I did one a couple of episodes back. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, I think that got deleted. I think my brain went on a tangent.
Oh, your dog on dog action.
One, yeah.
No, that stays.
Yeah, no, that's
still in. Fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, you can hear you figuring out that you shouldn't be saying that as you're saying it. It's really.
It's that bad.
Right, next one.
Hey everyone, this is Kevin from the A Pint of Cthulhu team. So my favorite moment of the Fallout season would have to be an episode early on, I forget which one it was, but it had to do with Josh's character, Max Power, tinkering around a little bit with Cartman's character, I believe they called him Medbot, Mr. Medbot, and being a child of the 80s that I am, I grew up listening to a lot of MTV when they played music, and Rick Astley's song, Never Gonna Give You Up, was everywhere. The fact that Josh would kind of give Cartman a little upgrade and cause him to sing the entire song, I found that absolutely hilarious. What made it even better was, one, Cartman's voice was a little off from the original recording, but two, I give him major props for just simply going through with the whole idea and singing the entire song. And then to be able to later on take pieces of the lyrics to use in his dialogue, I just found that to be absolutely hilarious and quite impressive. So for me, that would be my favorite episode and moment from the Fallout season.
Your impressive singing.
You know, I will actually, I will agree with Kevin on that one. That was very impressive, Carmen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, all that was
for
very
our listeners,
much
Kevin
outfit,
is
as
Styles,
I said. I mean,
I
only found out that day that was happening. And literally, he sent me that on Discord about, I don't know, 10 minutes before I had to actually see it. And,
well.
I mean, as again, for me, I mean, with Rick Ashley, I mean, and my generation.
Rick,
yeah,
Ashley?
Rick Ashley?
Rick rolled. I mean, the actual singer is Rick Ashley, but they call it being Rick rolled.
It's Rick being Rick rolled.
I thought he's Rick Ashley.
Our generation on YouTube, whenever you like, you know, going for, oh, the, you know, greatest Call of Duty clip on this trailer is always a Rick roll. So, every time.
Yeah.
So, Rick roll was such a classic, and it's like to sing it.
Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never turn around, desert you.
I think you should find that me singing that and make that the very, very last outro of this whole thing at the very end.
I might have that maybe.
Just at the end of this. Of this.
That would be very funny.
You did it from the other episodes.
Just cut out me singing. Then we're going to get you up at the very end of this.
Get you up.
I'll have a look. I'll have a look.
Hi everyone, Rob here from the Variety Show podcast and the Untitled Trek Show podcast. Well done on another amazing campaign. You all did fantastically.
Bullshit.
Okay. You all did fantastically well, and I have to say it's one of my favourite...
He's talking bullshit.
Sorry about that. One of my favourite...
He's talking absolute bullshit. Don't listen to his lies.
Dude, come on. Sorry about this, Matt. Valentino, what the fuck, mate? I'm trying to do this audio piece thing for the APOC lot.
You really going to make me do this?
Do what?
You haven't listened to them all. Fucking liar. Scammer.
Well, hold
loser.
Hold on. Keep it down. I'm trying to be professional. Look, these guys have done a lot for the shit show stuff. So look, I owe them.
Fuck them.
Valentino!
Fuck them. And fuck
them. Valentino! Lying. I do like their show, thank you very much. And actually, my favourite character is Billy Bob.
Bitch.
Bitch? What? Me or Billy Bob?
Take your pick.
Look, mate, we're out of order here. They're a great show. They put loads of time and effort in. And they produce something legitimately funny and engaging to listen to.
Unlike you.
You know what? Fuck you, Valentino.
Fuck me? Fuck you. That'll shut your fucking lies up. I can't believe I gave up the theatre for this shit. My turn. Well done to all my fellow thespians at the A Pint of Cthulhu podcast. My favourite character has to be Gertrude. Maybe someone could pass me her number.
Yeah.
I'm single at the moment and down to mingle. Anyway, I can't wait to hear what you have in store for us next. Right, where does he keep the shovel?
Fuck's sake.
Awkward. Gertrude no longer single.
Yes, Gertrude is very much spoken for.
Gertrude, my step-me-maw. So, yeah, you better stay the hell away from step-me-maw. Step-me-maw, what are you doing?
Absolutely. It's like the opposite of dads that bring a gun when they're... daughter's boyfriend tries to take her to prom.
She just brings the dildominator. I'm trying to go out on a date with someone, and Gertrude's behind me with the dildominator. Like, you fuck with him?
Oh,
I fuck you up.
I fuck
you. I fuck you.
Yeah, just I fuck you.
Well, that was an interesting one.
Well,
that was really interesting.
I think, ladies and gentlemen, that's probably about the end of what we've got left. I think.
Yeah.
That was cute.
It's now 11:25 on the 11th.
24th or the 11th?
Yeah, the 24th of the 11th. So to, yeah.
On time. Season 4.
And stop.
Bye, bye.
All right. Excellent. See you all later.
Bye.